You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, folks, it's time for the Parade of All Stars, and our Grand Marshal of this formation is none other than Richard Spencer himself. He is first in line. Let's get right down to it. We've been talking about it for an hour. The time has come. Richard, welcome back. First show of the year. Couldn't do better than this.
Yes. Hi, James. I'm very happy to be here.
Okay, let's talk about goals. It's a new year, a new current year, clean slate. 2017 is behind us. Where are we going individually and collectively? So I would ask you then a two-part question. What would you like to accomplish, Richard Spencer, this year? And where do you think our movement can realistically be 12 months from now? Go.
Sure. I mean, my overall goal is the professionalization and institutionalization of the alt-right writ large. And, you know, I have been doing this for around 10 years. Around 10 years ago in 2007, I dropped out of graduate school, and I was actually working in a magazine in Washington, D.C. And from then on, I started creating my own websites, running websites. I got involved with William Regnery and MPI and publishing and so on. And there's certainly been a great many things that have been accomplished, but we really need to be moving towards professionalization. I mean, what we can accomplish as one-man operations, effectively, or, you know, bands of anonymous guys on a forum or something, is a lot, but it also has a ceiling, and I think we have already hit that ceiling. So the professionalization of altright.com and NPI, producing more content, but also creating real positions for people like Evan McLaren, Gregory Conti, my colleagues, a lot of these great writers that I've been collaborating with for a decade, that really needs to be the goal. Just this movement that's taboo and anonymous and marginal, I'm kind of done with that. In 2015 and 2016 mainly, we had a major breakthrough where people were surprised by us, shocked by us, intrigued, horrified, and, you know, scandalized, and all and many variations in between. But what we have accomplished, you know, after 2016, and certainly with 2017, is a breakthrough into the mainstream. The term alt-right is now a household name. It is recognized by millions of people. I don't want this to sound arrogant or like I'm hopping on a high horse, but the name Richard Spencer is now recognized by many, many, many multiples of people than it was, say, 2 years ago. And a lot of that happened in 2017. And sure, in some ways, I've become a boogeyman. But sometimes you have to become a villain in order to become a hero eventually. But the fact is, we, as just a movement that is that's covert, that's secretive, and so on, a lot can be accomplished in that way, and I obviously think we're going to have to use anonymity to a large degree. But I think we have hit the ceiling. We need to recognize that, you know, certainly I, the alt-right in general, we have broken through into mainstream status, and we need to act like it. We need to keep pushing this forward, and we need to create independent institutions. I think one thing that's very interesting and clear is that it is obvious that Trump wasn't good enough that conservatives are never going to work with us, that we can't just become a supplement to the conservative movement. We'll just bring our one or two issues to the conservative movement and we'll influence them. That's simply not going to work. They are not going to accept that. And the other thing, one of the reasons why Trump has been, you know, a mixed bag, good on some things, interesting on the culture war, but not good, to be frank, not good at all in terms of actually implementing policy, is because there wasn't this institutional legacy. There was an institutional legacy for conservatism, so-called. And so you see that Trump, you know, there was a policy shop ready to go. He had white papers, you know, at the ready for tax cuts and repealing Obamacare, which the conservatives also came up with, by the way. We forget that. But anyway, repealing Obamacare and doing all these kind of conservative libertarian things. But because of our lack of funding and support and so on and manpower, we didn't have this legacy that he could just draw from and implement a real nationalist policy. Now, that is all our fault to a degree. It's not obviously completely our fault. We could always do better, but obviously we just simply need more support. But that is what we need in order to bring, you know, our idealism into practice, is ultimately real institutions. So that is what,
Richard,
I am building.
And I appreciate that. And for all of those 10 years that you've been active, we've known each other, and I'm thankful for that as well.
Yep.
I would ask you this very quickly, because you know we're doing quick micro interviews tonight with eight premier leaders. I may have said this on the recent video we did for altright.com's YouTube channel, or it may have been on the Red Ice New Year's Eve thing that we did. You were there. I said that, you know, certainly no war has ever been won because someone could out-tweet the enemy or even out-talk the enemy. So street activism, political activism is something that we're going to have to evolve into, and we have been evolving, you know, for all of these years. What do you think the future of street activism is in 2018 post-Charlottesville? Is that something that we're going to be able to see successful demonstrations? Is it going to be more of flash mob type things that I think will
I think it's a little
excellent?
Bit of – I think it's a both, basically. I don't buy into this these people who are scared by Charlottesville and think that we have to retreat into little flash mobs or kind of, you know, innocuous little demonstrations or vigils or something like that. I think that we have to demonstrate our presence. There's no question about that. And there will be an MPI conference that is going to be very big. I'm very confident this is going to happen in a federal institution. We are actually working on that right now. So I don't want to announce anything before the contracts have been signed, but there will be one in the fall of 2018. And
a teaser.
I am thinking through ways that public gatherings can take place that are big and bold, but then also smart and safe.
Right. And of course, we agree presentation and packaging is as important as the message. And so it's all got to be done smartly. It's all got to be done tactically. Richard, thank you for headlining and being the first of eight to come. And look, ladies and gentlemen, for Richard Spencer at a college near you. One of the men who's making that possible is Kyle Bristow. He's up next.
Yeah.
Stay in touch with Richard via altright.com and, of course, the National Policy Institute. Richard, Godspeed. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you, James, as always.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Dear Christine, I wanted to write and tell you some exciting news.
What are you doing?
Oh, hi. I'm writing Christine a letter to tell her about Emily's first tooth.
At 2 o'clock in the morning?
It's a mom thing.
I'll get her.
I don't have the words to thank you for having the courage to give us our most precious gift. We can only thank you by raising her the way you'd always hoped. How'd you get her to sleep so fast?
It's a dad thing. Honey, will you tell her thanks from me?
Of course I will.
Adoption. It's about love. A message from LDS Family Services.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
You just heard from Richard Spencer, still on deck tonight, David Duke, Jared Taylor, Henrik Palmgren, Patrick Casey of Identity Europa, Michael Hill, Sam Dixon, but now Kyle Bristow. Kyle Bristow is, of course, a very good friend of mine, and I think he is one of the most valuable assets that the entire movement has at its disposal. I think he's a genius. I think he is somebody that's going to lead us to victory in ways that most people just simply cannot. And his work at the Foundation for the Marketplace of Ideas is something that you should be familiar with. Kyle, welcome to the show. Great to have you back.
Thank you, James, so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, you, along with Patrick Casey, are two people that of the eight that are appearing tonight that I'd like to have back on in relatively short order for more extensive profile pieces on the work that you're doing. You with, of course, FMI, and Patrick with Identity Europa. But I'll ask you first the same question that I'm asking everybody tonight. What's your personal goal for 2018? And what is a goal that you would collectively like to see the movement realize over the course of the next 12 months? So answer those and then tell us a little more about what's going on at FMI and all the news you're making, because I read about you just about every day.
Right. Well, I would say for a personal goal, it's just to, carry on and to make the most of life and to enjoy it, because we are here for a very brief period of time in the grand scheme of things.
But, that's for sure.
Yeah, but with regards to FMI and my goals this year and the upcoming years, I want my group to grow and to grow strong. The Foundation for the Marketplace of Ideas, it is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. It is a registered charity. People can make donations to it. Donations are tax deductible. And people can learn more about our organization by going to freedomfront.org. And donation instructions are set forth on the website there, too. We are, in effect, the alt-right version of the ACLU. I'm an attorney licensed to practice law in two states, Ohio and Michigan, and I have noticed years ago that there really wasn't, at that time, an organization in existence to advance the legal interests of our activists. Whenever we had an activist who had a problem, a criminal allegation, being discriminated against by an employer, having their First Amendment rights stifled, there was nobody to turn to. We were reliant upon organizations already in existence, and every now and then they would take on one of our cases as a token case, if you will, but they really didn't vigorously advocate for our interests. And with my organization, we are doing that. We are in the courtroom, multiple courtrooms, I should say, and we are feisty. And already I've developed a nationwide network of attorneys who are pretty much on standby whenever we have a problem that needs to be addressed, whether it's somebody who loses a job and needs to talk with us about trying to take advantage of maximizing a severance agreement, or whether it is somebody who needs to file suit for having their First Amendment rights violated, a radio talk show host maybe who was defamed by a newspaper. it's whatever we could do, we're there. And I mean, we're having an incredible impact on people already. This past year, an alt-right activist was caught hanging up posters on a college campus down in Texas. They charged him with they alleged discipline, violations of the student conduct policy. And when he showed up for his interview by the diversity czar, we had him walk in with a lawyer, and the lawyer's presence freaked them out so much that they dismissed their whole investigation against him. So we are fighting back, and it is exciting. We can go toe-to-toe with the enemy in courts of law now, and we are winning. We are prevailing. And really now, just through connections I've developed, nobody goes without a lawyer now these days. I mean, whether it was Cameron Padgett, who filed a lawsuit against Auburn University and was able to get a court order so that the university was required to let him rent a room at which Richard Spencer spoke, or whether it was even the ACLU filing a lawsuit against the city of Charlottesville so that the Unite the Right event could occur in theory at Lee Park as planned. The ACLU only got involved with that because I promised to do all the grunt work for them behind the scenes, the document drafting, the legal research. And Jason Kessler, who organized that rally, thanked me by name in his announcement video, which was, very moving. Daily Stormer, Andrew Anglin were sued by that left-winger out in Montana, I was the one that gave them the idea of crowdfunding, and they raised $150,000 through the internet, and now they have Mark Randazzo representing them, who is arguably the foremost First Amendment litigator in the country. People who were charged with ridiculous crimes related to the Charlottesville situation, leftists came out of the woodwork and made up all kinds of stories. We connected people with criminal defense attorneys to help them. And just the other day, FMI wrote a check to a lawyer representing Identity Europa. It was almost $3,000. And so we are really stepping up to the plate. Even the New York Times took note of us recently, as did the Atlantic. And their worry is that because the ACLU and all these other pretend civil rights groups are dropping the ball when it comes to defense of the First Amendment, that a void exists, and I'm going to fill it. And they're right.
Well, Kyle,
I'm coming for them.
They are right. And I just want to say this, because every interview is so short tonight, each appearance is so short. And as I said a moment ago, Kyle, I'm going to have you back on in short order to have a more extensive discussion about what you're doing there with FMI. But now Kyle, as he mentioned, is only licensed currently to practice in Michigan and Ohio. But through the Foundation for the Marketplace of Ideas, there is a network of very capable and competent attorneys that are taking on cases. And I think you've just about got the whole country covered now. And it is the alt-right version, our answer to the ACLU. It is our answer to the SPLC. Kyle packs a punch and has a bite. And it's a wonderful organization. If we're going to win, talking about the professionalization that Richard was mentioning in the previous segment, if you're going to professionalize, you've got to have legal resources. You have got to have attorneys that are willing to fight for you all the way to the wall. And Kyle is doing that, and his organization is doing that. And I don't say this for very many organizations, but folks, this is one that you need to support. We are going nowhere without legal representation, and we're going nowhere without attorneys willing to take our ball and run with it. And FMI is the only game in town on that front. If we're going to be successful in 2018 and going forward, one of the goals that has to be realized is an organization like this. It exists thanks to Kyle Bristow. It can grow and it can do more, but not without your help. That being said, Kyle, what's the website? What can they do to help you?
Right. People can go to our website, freedomfront.org, and there are instructions there about, you know, which provide how people can make donations. We accept checks if you want to send us one by mail. We accept donations by credit card through GuideStar. People can donate Bitcoin to us. I mean, if it has value, you can send it to us. And every penny goes a long way. And we are strapped for cash right now. Even there's two more universities that want to sue for trampling upon the First Amendment. But these cases are just ungodly expensive. There's a $400 filing fee for each case.
Kyle, we're out of time. Freedomfront.org. Folks, go there. Be generous. Donate. Freedomfront.org. Google News Search Kyle. He's everywhere. He's a true leader. He's a warrior. Support him. Freedomfront.org. Kyle, we'll have you back on soon to talk more about it. Thank you, brother.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Oh, yeah.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, so far you've heard from Richard Spencer and Kyle Bristow, but we haven't even scratched the surface of this iceberg. It is an extravaganza, a spectacular, almost, but not quite, but almost as good, maybe, as you saw on Red Ice TV, for instance, a few days ago when they had 26 guests over an eight-hour marathon. And the man who put all that together is the next one in our hit parade this evening, Henrik Palmgren, a man who's become a good friend of mine over the course of the last year and a half, 2 years now, I guess it's been. Henrik, doing the work, incredible work. I mean, network-level work and production quality for Red Ice. Just an incredible guy all the way around. Henrik, welcome back to the show.
Hey, James. Good to be here. Thank you so much for having me on again.
You're welcome. So, again, I'm asking the same question of everybody tonight. Individual goals for you in 2018 and for the collective movement over the course of the next year. Where would you like to see us be a year from now? Where can we realistically be a year from now? Take it away, Henrik, in any direction you'd like.
Absolutely. And I want to actually pick up on something that Kyle talked about here regarding finances and make the case for people to actually increase their wealth, become economically independent, and also at the same time get wealthy so that actually they can aid and help all the people and the projects and the endeavors and researchers and media outlets out there that are fighting against globalization and the homogenization of our culture and human biodiversity. So I know that most people that you've had on your show today and that you're going to have on later will talk about strategy and next steps and ideas on how to move forward in terms of organizing and strategizing, you know, for all the people that are concerned for the continued existence of our people, those of European descent. So instead of going over those many of the same points, I'd like to talk about something different, namely that people should get their financial life under better control and, you know, get some discipline back into it. I know that we have limited time today and I kind of have almost a mini lecture lined up here, James. I'm just going to move through this as soon as I can. So
sure.
This is my proposal. Stop smoking, stop drinking, stop going to bars if you're doing drugs, including hooked on like pharmaceuticals. I'd like to see you stop that abusive behavior and stop the things that worsen your health. Cancel your Netflix subscription, cancel your cable TV. You're literally supporting people that hate you and want to see your people gone. So my proposal is for 2018, instead take that money that you spend on those abusive behaviors and instead put that in on the cryptocurrency market and start actually making some money. This new market has really started taking off, and it's literally been proven by people over the course of a few years now that have exchanged their cryptocurrencies back into fiat money. They bought houses and cars and whatever else they would do. These are the people that made it big, of course, whatever they do with their money. But so what happened with Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies is really remarkable. It's a field that is completely denounced by the globalist banker cartels and the financial sharks of those who, robbed the American people during the bailout, kicked people out of their houses, especially for those who couldn't, you know, make the mortgage payments. They should never have been granted those loans to begin with. But these charlatans are putting down Bitcoin and the crypto market, saying that it's only criminals using it, and they said it should be stopped. I'm talking about people like, you know, Jamie Dimon of JP Morgan Chase, the economist Joseph Stiglitz. You have people like Jeremy Bentham, the guy who's, you know, depicted as the Wolf of Wall Street, who literally is running like scams and stuff like that. These are literally convicted criminals talking about that Bitcoin is bad and people should get off of it because it's a competition to what they are doing, right? This is literally a field that's going to circumvent the banking system and get these third parties kind of out of the way. So if these people are against it, I'm actually interested in what it is and why they're against it, right? So the reason is because just today, the total market capitalization of the cryptocurrency market actually passed $800 billion U.S. dollars. There's a website, coinmarketcap.com, that you can check regularly to kind of see the increase, both of the total market cap, but also individually currencies as well. So what's wonderful about the cryptocurrencies is that, you know, it's not just like limited to, you know, like venture capitalists and angel investors and hedge fund managers, you know, that get in on these pre-sales when there's IPOs, these initial public offerings in the stock market. Those are the guys that always get in on the action first. In this case, when it comes to crypto markets, the crypto market, it's called initial coin offerings. It's the equivalent of IPOs, but it's open to anybody. In a way, it's kind of like the poor man's or the common man's stock market. It's done on the back end by companies and projects and services that's completely going to bypass like the financial sector, such as banks and insurances and even some of the government work and stuff like that. So these coins, these cryptocurrencies, are not only a store of value like Bitcoin, they're actually real life, you know, built on platforms and ideas and businesses and services that are seeking to offer kind of a new way of doing business with blockchain technology. So there are now hundreds and hundreds of cryptocurrencies that are seeking to kind of decentralize services and administrative functions that basically previously have been controlled by a few elites, like the Federal Reserve and like all these people, the mega banks that control so much already. So this is bypassing them by offering transactions peer-to-peer without third parties, you know, without them getting their hands and fingers on the money, allowing or disallowing transactions to take place, right? So that's something we've seen after Charlottesville, that these banks and these services are denying people to use utilities and certain services based on what they think and stuff like that. So this is a way around it, especially, of course, the privacy coins and stuff like that, so no one knows who's making the transaction. But, you know, people are usually against crypto for a few reasons. And I was too at first, before I actually really started looking into it, not only, you know, looking into what Bitcoin is, but many of the other things as well. And usually it's one, people either don't understand it, you know, they're limited to their knowledge, and then you're usually against it. I get that, it's self-evident. Or two, people just don't like it because they don't have any themselves. They see that it's going up, and they're kind of pissed about that they didn't get in on the action early. But the good news, it's not too late. There are actually new ICOs out all the time. It's literally just getting started, and 2018 is probably going to be the year for cryptocurrencies. And it's like saying, I don't know, in 2001 when the internet was like still fairly new, saying that, whoa, all that stuff with website developments and all that online hoopla, that's reached its peak. There's no point in getting in on it, right? So there is still time. It's early, and the majority of people don't even know about it yet. So my proposal is get in now before it is too late. Or three, the reason why people usually don't like it is because they actually understand it and they don't like it because they're in a field that will make them obsolete, like bankers or, you know, some of these other, people in like the crooked financial services or something like that. So those are usually the three reasons I've found. And I was skeptical too, as I said in the beginning. But there is, it's not some kind of weird, crazy, get-rich-quick kind of scam. This is a long-term effort to kind of hold a small percentage of your assets in Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. So, you know, if you're interested in it, don't put in your life savings. It's a very volatile market. It goes up and down incredibly fast. You need to use money that you're willing to lose. And that's why I said earlier, use the money that you spend on bad behavior and stuff that's abusive towards you, both mentally and physically. Put that into something like this. Invest on some, sit on it for like 6 months to a year, and just watch what happens. It's a challenge to the skeptics and the doubters out there, because this is a new emerging market, and I want our people to benefit from it. Get in early and don't miss the boat. This is not going to go away as a technology. Blockchain is here to stay. And the only thing that potentially could stop it is the government and the bankers. I don't think they will be able to, but they're certainly going to try, so that could get it bouncing fairly low, I guess, up or down, depending on what the government and the banks does. But, I mean, the idea is hold currency long-term and do your research. Involve yourself somewhat. There's no excuse anymore. You can go to YouTube.com, search for, like, blockchain for dummies and look at 5 to 10 videos, or Bitcoin for beginners. Bitcoin for dummies, something like that. Watch the first 10 videos. It's not really research. It's just trying to grasp the idea and see if you like it. And if you don't like it, just understand that there is a potential to make money in cryptocurrencies, because it's backed by real projects that are seeking to have services, which is going to bypass, you know, these other financial institutions and stuff like that. So it's proven that it's going to work and it's going to operate. That's why everyone's getting into it now. Even the bankers are saying, like, no, don't use it. It's only criminals using it while they're on the back end actually investing in it themselves, right? So the critics say, you know, well, Bitcoin is backed by nothing. So the point I always say to that is that, well, so is it the same with fiat money, U.S. dollars.
Exactly.
Sorry, go ahead, James.
No, I was just saying exactly. Yeah, I was already thinking in my head, well, so is the American dollar. But you beat me to the punch. Well, Henrik, I would say this because I know we're about to run out of time here, the segment, but I appreciate you bringing something practical to the lineup tonight, something that everyone listening at home can apply in their daily lives. Not everybody can do what Kyle Bristow is doing. Not everybody can do what Richard's doing. Not everybody can do what you and Lana are doing with Red Eyes. But everybody can take these simple steps that you've prescribed this evening and apply them to their daily lives that will benefit themselves and of course the greater cause, which we're all a part of. So that was something unexpected and outside of the box that I think was a very fine addition to tonight's program. So kudos to you, Henrik.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know how much time we have left, but, you know, definitely check into it, folks. Just do some research, look into it. There is potential here. Just watch what happens in 2018. It's going to take off.
All right, we will, and we'll be watching Red Ice in 2018 as well. Folks, watch everything they produce. Let's You'll never go wrong. And Henrik, we'll talk to you again soon, brother. Right, thank you for having me on your incredible on platform News last week. Look forward to working with you more in the year to come. Stay tuned for
thank
more,
you,
ladies
James.
And gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, it's a barn burner tonight. There isn't a lot of love between us. It is great to have friends, and it's great to have good friends and have good men as your friends. And we've got eight of them on tonight, and one who is, of course, very special to me, a man who leads the all-time appearances. He has more all-time appearances on this program than anybody else we've ever hosted, and it's Jared Taylor. And, well, I tell you, you know, they tell me if we have Jared on any more frequently than we do, we got to give him a co-hosting salary. So, you know, that would, of course, bust the budget. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing, as the old song says. But anyway, we've got Jared back again for our first show of the new year. He was last on with us, what, 2 weeks ago? That sounds about right. Jared, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, James, and keep up your wonderful work. I'm sure that's what you will do in 2018 and 19 and 20 and who knows how much longer.
Hey, man, I'm just I've learned from the best. I stand on the shoulders of giants and all of that good stuff. But we have been in it together for another year. I mean, we get a year older every year, that's for sure. And the longevity of our work, it grows by year every time the calendar flips. And American Renaissance, I think, doubles up on TPC. But this is now our 14th year. And Jared, of course, as I said to someone else earlier in the broadcast, I've known you for that entire time, if you can believe it. So I've grown up with you, even though – You were already mature when we first met, but I was an up and comer. It's been a wonderful ride, and a lot of priceless memories and good times shared together. And I look forward to many more as well. So, what do you got for us, Jared? In 2018, what are some of the accomplishments you would like to attain in this calendar year? And where would you like to see the movement be a year from now? Where can we be, realistically speaking, a year from now? Same question to everybody, but now I pose it to you.
As far as American Renaissance is concerned, I will start with the obvious, and that is we want to do more and better the things that have been successful throughout the years. And one of those, of course, is videos. You know, people just seem to love videos. These days, when people call up and say they find out about American Renaissance, they don't say, hey, I read this great book you wrote or read this insightful article. No, they all say, wow, watch these videos. So we are definitely going to do more videos. Another thing we're going to do, we are looking to hire someone, another full-time staffer, believe it or not, because we want some guy who can basically write full-time for American Renaissance, somebody who can do original reporting for one thing, but also someone who can analyze government reports and get the really interesting meat out of, say, for example, if there is a report out on government or Army disciplining procedures, and they'll, somewhere in there, there will be the statistics on race, but somebody's got to go in there and dig them up and report on them. So we would love to have another reporter. And then something else, which is not at the final announcement stage, is we really are considering bringing suit against these efforts to deplatform. I've been talking to lawyers now, and as I say, no decision has been made. But there are lawyers who are willing, I think, to work at real cut rates, none of this $400 an hour stuff, who really think that the country is going in the wrong direction very, very rapidly, who are willing to fight censorship. And so we may be announcing a lawsuit along those lines coming up pretty soon. That would be pretty exciting. So those...
Yeah, I tell you, it was...
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, yeah, it was. My experience in court was very exciting. I would wish that upon you as well.
Well, it was exciting, but boy, you got the most disappointing... But edifying results, that's the other thing. If you fail, you make the other side really take a position. And the other side, in your case, the judges took such a preposterous position, it just leaves you breathtaking. And it gives you a very clear indicator of which way the country's going.
Well, I appreciate a man like you, as refined as you are, still wanting to associate with a Klan leader like me. It's a real honor.
Well, you know, I pull in my belt and I swallow hard and my hands shake as I pick up the phone because I know it's going to be Klan leader James Edwards. But anything for the cause.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's what I say. But no, listen, I'm glad we did it, and that's been covered six ways from Sunday. I appreciate the coverage American Renaissance provided with that. I believe Gregory Hood wrote a nice article. But no, listen, bigger and better and more things. I mean, Jared, of course, I had the opportunity about a year ago at this time when he and I were gearing up to go to the inauguration, those nice front row VIP seats that we had, to take a look at Jared's I guess you could call it a TV studio. It certainly was set up that way, and it looked every bit as nice as some of the TV studios I've been in over the course of my career. So more stuff going on at Amarin with the video front. And, of course, Jared's been trailblazing in so many ways. Just for Jared to maintain his level of operation is a success for most of us, and so or exceeds that which most of us could do. So just maintenance on the American Renaissance level would be great. And of course, I know there's going to be another wonderful conference coming up this year. I got to ask you though, Jared, have you ever considered joining Twitter?
Gee, you know, huh? That's an idea. That might be a way to spread our message. You know, I think I might try that.
It's a good idea. Well, yeah. All kidding aside, and we're having a good time. Jared and I are so familiar; we can have good, we can have good times at our own misfortunes with my lawsuit and his ban from Twitter. Actually, I think everybody. Well, we don't have Brett Griffin on tonight. We do have Michael. I thought we were going to have the trifecta of the people who got banned from Twitter, but at least stateside. Jared, movement at large. Of course, we could say, yes, it would be great to see Sam Dixon become the next president after Donald Trump serves one term. But realistically, what are some things that we should collectively, we've talked about individual goals with the different organizations and the different personalities we've had on tonight. We've got another hour of it coming up. Where could we be a year from now that we're not at already? What would be logical, realistic expectations that we should strive to attain between now and New Year of 19.
One thing over which we have individual control but do not have collective control is the image that we strive for. And I think all of us have in the back of our minds, when we think in terms of image, is what happened in Charlottesville. I think certainly as far as public demonstrations go, probably for the time being, it's wise to take the identity Europa view of having these sort of like generation identity. They plan a kind of a strike and a demonstration just of a group that's going to hang a banner or will make a point and then let the news media go crazy rather than letting everybody and his brother show up with a Nazi flag or a pointy hat. That is the best way, I think, to keep control over our message. Not let just any kook and loony show up and claim that he's part of our movement. I think that's a very important thing. But to me, the thing to strive for, first of all, is just more people who see things our way. More people. Because once you have a certain critical mass, and we already see it now with people who are putting out these clever remakes of old songs, new videos, sort of cartoons, more podcasts, more publishing houses, things begin to happen when you have more people. And I don't mean to sound as though I have no imagination, but things will happen that we cannot anticipate. I mean, it is possible that some sort of more or less mainstream politician will begin to say the things that we are saying. That, to me, is the ultimate goal. We have to have our hands on the levers of power. And to do that, you have to have people with at least political power or corporate power saying, and not just thinking, but saying and doing the kinds of things we want them to say and do. That, to me, is the goal, at least in the medium term. And I cannot promise, of course, that within the next year something like that will happen. But it's at this point, it's not out of the question. There are enough people who see straight so that we could see a state rep or a congressman. I mean, Congressman King comes pretty close sometimes. But we
absolutely
could have
people, he does.
Yes. We could have more people like that. And once you have more than one, once you have a group, then you're not just an isolated kook. Then you're a movement. And that's what's so great about our movement now. I've been doing these things for, I guess, going on 28 years now. Until you came along, there was no allied radio program that I could come on and say the kinds of things I say to you and to reach the kind of audience that you reach. Once we have more media, more spokesmen, more events, more books, more videos, more podcasts, and this is the crucial point, more people in some kind of political position, that's the way we move ahead.
Well, Jared, I am glad you brought that up because I know so many people, I mean, we all want instant gratification. We all want instant success and instant victory. And, of course, it just doesn't happen that way when the entire establishment is against you. But you look at the case of Paul Nehlen. Now, obviously, he's not a member of Congress. You mentioned Steve King, who, as you said, comes close, and I agree with that. But Paul Nehlen is certainly a corporate figure. I mean, this is a guy who's been very successful in life and business and is now really just come out full force, and hopefully he'll win. You've got people like that. I think that, yes, you continue to materialize, you continue to snowball, and things will happen. And I think if you look back, would you agree or disagree? And this will be the last question because we only have seconds remaining. And, of course, remember, everybody, Amren.com, Amren.com, Amren.com. Jared, are we better off? 1 year isn't necessarily enough time to judge. 5 years ago, are we better or off now than we were in 2013?
Infinitely so. Infinitely
I agree.
And we will continue to go in the right direction. Mark my words.
Well, and Jared Taylor will be leading the way, everybody. Thank you, Jared. Talk to you again soon. Happy New Year. Third and final hour of our first show of 2018 coming your way next, everybody. Stay tuned.